Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. Fireball Hot Take Friday. You know what's so funny is how many people are afraid to admit that they were wrong. Everybody loves to be right, and everybody hates to be wrong. And yeah, I hate being wrong too, but I also don't think that I'm never wrong. We can go through all the times I'm wrong, and I can tell you that a lot of people who listen to this show live for the moments that I'm wrong. For example, I picked the Buffalo Bills in week 6 or whatever it was. I thought they were going to come in here and spank the Titans. And by the way, if the Titans are playing the Bills this weekend or last weekend, I would have expected the Buffalo Bills to spank them that weekend too. But I said, I think I picked it Bills 42 or Bills 41, Titans 17. And the Titans ended up winning 42-16. And everybody said, oh, what do you think now, Stillman, you idiot? You know, look at you, you moron. Yeah, I was wrong about that. I was wrong about Marcus Mariota being the franchise quarterback. I was wrong here. I was wrong there. I've been wrong. I also don't think I'm the only person who ever is wrong. In fact, I think I'm more right than I am wrong. And I think I'm more right than the average person. But I'm willing to have the discussion of being wrong, willing to admit that I'm wrong. And as we get to conference championship weekend, we have 4 great quarterbacks. 3 quarterbacks I think will be in the Hall of Fame. Brady and Rodgers are already there. Mahomes, honestly, if his career were to stop today, Mahomes probably makes the Hall of Fame. And there'd be a big discussion about, well, you know, it was only a couple of seasons. How can you? That's how good he's been. Now, we all think that he'll have probably another decade of great quarterback play, so Mahomes is going to the Hall of Fame. Those 3 guys will be in. Josh Allen, he has seasons like this, he's a Hall of Famer. He reverts back to the norm, then he's probably a good quarterback, makes a couple of Pro Bowls in his career, and lives the rest of his life outside of the Hall of Fame. But as of right now, he's the best Buffalo Bills quarterback since Jim Kelly. Which brings me to this. Tom Brady is probably not going to win in Green Bay this weekend. I love Tom Brady. Tampa's an okay team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are exactly what we wondered they would look like with all these really good offensive players and an okay defense. They've got some pass rushers and a defensive line and a great linebacker in Devin White. And we wondered last year when they were 7-9, how good would they be if Jameis Winston didn't throw 50 interceptions? Remember, I think they lost every game except for 2 by 1 score. And in those 7 losses by 1 score last year, Jameis turned the ball over at least once. You don't do that, you probably win some of those games. Enter the greatest quarterback who ever lived. Now they're in the NFC title game. And the reason I bring this up, again, I think Green Bay's probably going to win that game. Tampa Bay usually doesn't travel well to the cold. Green Bay is always cold. We saw how Rodgers, snow, sleet, doesn't matter. He lit up the Titans. But Tom Brady still got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the NFC title game. Tampa's a so-so team. They're really like every other team in the NFC not named Green Bay. They're like New Orleans. They're like Seattle. They're like the Rams. They're a so-so team. But then they bring in Tom Brady, and now they're the second best team in their conference. Which leads me to the whole idea of me being wrong. The beginning, who remembers what 2020 was like before the pandemic? Who remembers what it was like when we had stadiums full of fans? This time a year ago, I had a thing pop up on my phone. Your memory from 1 year ago, and it's a picture of Floyd and John Robinson. Stillman & Company and a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Apologies for the drop-off there, a little internet issue, but we are back. Corey Curtis, News 2, going to join us momentarily. What I wanted to say was the discussion we had in the offseason for the first 3 months of 2020, before the pandemic really hit, was who was going to quarterback the Titans in 2020? Was it going to be Ryan Tannehill? I mean, he had been the magical ace in the hole who saved the season and got him to the AFC title game. But the other option was Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. And while I'm the kind of guy who doesn't love to admit the fact that they're wrong, I do wonder, I pushed very hardly for Ryan Tannehill to come back. And they brought him back. And now the question has to be asked, with Tom Brady in the NFC title game, where he has single-handedly taken the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there, did the Titans make the right call? Ryan Tannehill had a good year this year. I haven't looked at the stats and how Ryan Tannehill's stats compare to that of Tom Brady, but they both had 11-5 seasons. They both seemed to make the playoffs. Tampa Bay as the top wild card. Tampa Bay probably wins the AFC South or is right there with Tennessee and Indianapolis if they were in the AFC. But Tampa Bay is every bit the team the Titans are, every bit the team the Colts are, every bit the team the Steelers are, every team in the AFC except for the two teams. If you were to ask me to rank the NFL teams right now, I'd say we have Buffalo, Kansas City, and Green Bay all together, and then Tampa Bay is certainly beneath them. I don't expect Tampa Bay to win this weekend. If they do win this weekend, then this may answer the question for you. But in the Ravens playoff game, Ryan Tannehill didn't get it done. I know that Derrick Henry was held in check to a, you know, season-low total of yards, and the Ravens shut him down, and that was one of the big storylines that everybody talked about. But the reality was Baltimore was going to live with Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith beating them. They were not going to spend another offseason at home wondering how Derrick Henry took their season away. And they committed to stopping Derrick Henry. And as the GM has always said, you can always stop the run by bringing one more than the other team is trying to block. So Ryan Tannehill didn't get it done. Yeah, he got it done during the regular season. He got it done against Jacksonville. He got it done against Denver. He got it done against Minnesota. He got it done against Detroit. He got it done at the end against the Texans. He got it done against the bad teams. He kind of got it done against some of the good teams. In October, had a great game against the Buffalo Bills. But one of the questions that was always asked was, if you pick Tannehill over Brady, does that mean you think you can win a Super Bowl with Tannehill? And I thought, if you got everything else right, that Tannehill could make enough plays in order to win you one. But he couldn't beat the Ravens. And the Ravens were a good team. Just like the Saints team that Tom Brady beat last week was a good team this year. Just like the Washington football team that Tom Brady beat in the playoffs 2 weeks ago, just like they were playing like post-Thanksgiving when Alex Smith came in as their quarterback. Tom Brady beat those teams. Do you think if Tom Brady was your quarterback against the Ravens, you would have beaten him? Certainly would have been better than Ryan Tannehill's day, where he missed a wide-open Cam Batson over the middle of the field. He missed a wide-open A.J. Brown that could have been a touchdown on a play that ended up costing you the season when Khalif Raymond got bumped down. I pushed for Tannehill. I still believe in Tannehill. I still think Tannehill over Brady was the right decision. But Tampa Bay's playing this weekend, and the Titans are not. With that, Corey Curtis, News 2, joins us, as he always does on a Friday. So, Corey, Tom Brady's playing this week. Ryan Tannehill, in large part thanks to Ryan Tannehill 2 weeks ago, is a not. Do you revisit that decision and think maybe the Titans could have done it differently? How do you feel?
I mean, look, if you're, you know, you're picking between a 31-year-old quarterback and how old is Brady, 42, 43?
43.
43. And listen, if they wanted to go Brady last year, I was all for it. Go for it. But there's nothing about Ryan Tannehill's season that makes me regret that decision. Listen, I liked the Bucks roster last year. Jameis just turned it over 300 times, and I like the Bucks roster this year, and you're seeing, you know, more of that play out. It's not perfect, but that Bucks roster has a lot of really good elements to it.
So with that, you're saying that the loss of the Ravens wasn't on Tannehill and the success of Tampa Bay was not about Brady, and that basically that the success or the ending points of the two teams is not directly related to the quarterback choice.
I don't know if I would go that far. I mean, did Ryan play his best game in that game? No, he didn't. But I don't think even if Ryan played out of his mind that game, were they probably going to go any further than that game. And like I said, I like the Bucks roster. They needed a quarterback to come in there and steady things down and not give games away. And Brady hasn't given games away. He's had a few rough spots because it hasn't always been a perfect match with him and Bruce Arians. But listen, if Ryan Tannehill went to Tampa, I think they'd win a lot of games.
Corey, what do you make about the reports this week that Arthur Smith is hiring Dean Pease to be defensive coordinator? That's not a report. That's been confirmed. But yep, not only is he hiring him to be defensive coordinator, then there was a report yesterday. Well, you know, Vrabel had reached out to Pease, but Pease decided to go with the Falcons. And then Paul Kaharsky had a report today that was Vrabel offered Pease the ability to come back and be a consultant. We know this defense sucks. We know this defense was no good this year. Under Dean, they were 12th in scoring defense. This year, they were 24th. They couldn't stop anybody. Do you think that that is a reflection of Vrabel and his stubbornness that Dean Pease is coaching on a worse defense and a worse team than he could have been coaching here?
I don't want to guess as to why Dean picked the Falcons over the Titans. But, I mean, bottom line, that's what happened here. I mean, he walked away rather than return to a team that was a win from the Super Bowl last year.
Well, I go and back then, to the Kaharsky report. Again, Vrabel didn't offer Dean the defensive coordinator job here. He offered him a defensive consultant job here, not the coordinator job. To me, if they'd been even, I don't think Dean would have picked Atlanta over the Titans. But if Mike's not going to offer you the DC job, you're not going to take it.
But even if they're both DC jobs, which one has more autonomy to it? I mean, Arthur's going to let Dean run the defense. I mean, there's not much question about that. And I'm not saying that he didn't want Vrabel's hands in the kitchen. There's no evidence to that. But if you're the defensive coordinator, you kind of want to run things, right? And so I can see where that would be more appealing. Also, we don't know what the role for his son Matt plays in any of this. I don't know if Matt's going to Atlanta or not. But, you know, you're right. The two jobs aren't equal, so you can't compare them. But like I said, he walked away after year two, okay? And I'm not saying he didn't like Mike Vrabel, and that's why he walked away. He walked away after year two, and then when given an opportunity to come back and coach, head up the Falcons defense, he took it. And there's no denying that. And, you know, what exactly it means, we still have to figure out, but it's not great.
Well, I would just, the way I looked at it was, I'm taking certain things on face value. I think Dean probably did want to retire, and all his plans for retirement went out the window when
with COVID,
the virus shut everything down.
Yeah,
and
I can see that argument as well.
Sure, and Dean went through a football season in which he was sitting at home watching on the couch, and I've seen how Floyd took to retirement, so I know that those guys, it's not easy for them. And no. I just, where I stopped, but like I don't think there was animosity between Vrabel and Dean when Dean hung it up.
I don't think so either.
Where it gets me is when Dean clearly wanted to come back, Mike was not willing to give him the same job that he had before. Arthur was willing to give him that job, and that's why he went with Arthur. And the question has to be, is Vrabel so stubborn that he thinks that he can do this without Dean?
Well, I mean, only Mike can answer that. And then the other thing is he worried about play? He doesn't want to do this song and dance with Dean every year. Are you coming back? Are you not coming back? Are you coming back? Because we did that for 2 years. I mean, even after the first year, we didn't know if Dean was coming back for year two or not. And I can see you know, on Mike's side, wanting some stability in that defensive coordinator position, but they still didn't even hire anybody for it last year, and they've known they need to hire somebody for it for over a year now, and they still haven't hired anybody for it.
So what do we make of what they're going to do at DC? And if Vrabel doesn't make a move, if he doesn't bring in somebody, then how do you think fans should feel?
Well, I mean, look, we all saw what the defense was this year, whether it was coaching, whether it was scheme, or whether it was personnel. It wasn't good enough. I mean, there were a lot of games where they gave up a lot of points. So, I mean, look, J-Rob's got some work to do. On the personnel side, and as Mike says, they're always talking about the roster every day together, so it seems that they're in lockstep about what they're going to do. And then, you know, if he's not going to hire a defensive coordinator, it's up to him to make it better. And if it's not better, it's on him. And, I mean, he knows that. He knows that, and it's his job to win games and to make it better. And if he believes... You know, this is kind of like what I said about J-Rob when he fired Mike Mularkey. Mike Mularkey had just won a playoff game, and he fired him anyway and brought in Mike Vrabel. And I said, I don't have to agree with the decision, but if he believes that Mike Vrabel is the man to take this team further than Mike Mularkey, then that is his job to do that. And so along the same lines, if Mike Vrabel, whose job is to win this team a Super Bowl, thinks that he can get the Titans closer than anybody else that's out there right now, then that's his job to do.
What do they elevate Shane Bowen? Corey Curtis News 2 is our guest.
Well, he's got to give him the title because, as I've said, you know, without the title, you're really undercutting his authority, in my opinion, because you're telling the team, I like Shane, but I don't like him enough to give him the title. And I do think that titles are important in a chain of command when you're trying to get the respect of alpha males and get them all pointed in the same direction. So he's got to firmly get behind Shane and let everybody know Shane's in charge of the defense.
Corey Curtis News 2 is our guest. What did you make of the week that was for the Tennessee Volunteers?
You know, it was an interesting week because I think it took a couple of twists and turns. You know, it looked like an absolute dumpster fire on Monday with that bizarre press conference with the over-the-top adulation for Philip Fulmer, which I think everyone could see right through. But then with the way that they went out and hired the athletic director, the first one that they wanted, and paid through the nose to do it, it really kind of made you feel like they had all their ducks in a row on Monday, and then they just kind of opened the gate and turned it loose. Like, I won't be surprised if they don't have a football coach here in the next, like, 5 days. Because my guess is they know exactly who this guy is going to hire to be his football coach. We'll see if that's correct or not. But, you know, perception-wise, they needed to get their first choice. They have been turned down way too many times in the last 10, 15 years. And so I think, you know, after all the shenanigans they went through and the hemorrhaging of players that they're going through, to get their first choice as AD is very important, and they've got to follow that up with their first choice as head coach.
I'll go one step further, Corey. I believe that Donde Plowman, and I think she's doing a, I mean, I don't know if she's doing a good job with the school. I have no idea. Normally, I don't care about presidents and chancellors, but Tennessee's been such a mess. Maybe this is different. I think when the lawyers, when they hired the lawyers, because remember, we knew right before the kickoff of the last game, the story broke,
yep,
that they were investigating the program. I think when the lawyers went in, everything was already set in motion. They were going to fire Pruitt. They were going to fire Fulmer.
Completely.
They were going to hire. They were going to get a new athletic director. They knew all of those things. So at that point, Donde Plowman is now, because Kevin Steele came in last week, and that felt,
yep,
telegraphed as if he was going to be,
yep,
the future interim head coach, and in the middle of a hiring freeze. So they do that, and then I felt like they probably used all the time between when the lawyers came in, which I think was like around Christmas or maybe even before that, they used all that time to really decide who they wanted. She said today the timeline, and I don't think she lied, but she said the timeline was they hired the search firm Saturday. She Zoomed,
yeah,
with him on, or she talked to boosters and those people on Monday. She Zoomed with him on Tuesday. They, the other administrators, Zoomed with him on Wednesday. They flew down Thursday and hired him. What I think happened was, they knew they wanted Danny White. Then they hired the search firm. Then the search firm mm-hmm. talked to his people and said, hey, what would it take? And then when they finally met, they made the decision had been made well ahead of time. I think this has been well calculated. And I will say this, that looks a whole heck of a lot better than Beverly Davenport pulling the offer to Greg Schiano and then firing yeah. John Curry and then hiring Philip Fulmer and then this giant mess of a coaching search going on. I think it is incredibly more surgical than anything we've seen out of Tennessee in a long time.
I think it looks much more decisive. And like I said, like getting what they want. And I'll take it a step further, you know, with setting those wheels in motion back at the end of November there. You know, you're also building up your case to not pay Jeremy Pruitt. And so I think they took their time with that to get all the information they need to where they felt they had a rock solid case to walk away from paying this guy a $12.6 million buyout. Now, there's going to be some court dates over this, and we'll see what happens. But I think that, you know, money has a lot to do with this. Finishing the season has a lot to do with this. But, you know, having everything set up, and it just happened to me, it just happened way too fast to not have been in motion before now.
Sure. And on that point, Corey Curtis, News 2 is with us. On that point, I don't think Plowman, when she fired Pruitt with cause, I don't think she was trying to save $12 million. I think she's trying to save six. You know, I mean, like that's
yeah.
They're not. He's going to walk away with money. There's no
yeah,
way
I mean,
that
look,
this goes
you,
to court.
Even if you save six, that's a lot of money.
Sure, I mean, Danny White is $1.8 million a year for 5 years. There's your $6 million. You know, that's
$2.5 million buyout.
And so that's I thought this was very surgical on her part. I think it's the best. I think it's the best. Well thought out plans I've seen from the Vols in 15 years, you know, where it's
yeah, we'll
truly
it
well
is.
Thought out.
So who's the next coach?
I don't know, but I think he already knows who it is. And
well,
it's funny.
Agree. I think he knew when they hired him.
Oh, I think that was part of the discussion when they hired him. I think
yeah,
part of the discussion was who you're going to bring. And he said,
yeah.
you know, well, I always want to talk to the student athletes before I start interviewing people because I want to know what they want. And I said, this is exactly what he's doing. This is like a palm reader, you know, a tarot card or whatever it's called, card reader.
Yeah.
Where it's,
tarot card,
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, where it's like you have a family member who is not doing well. Oh, my God, my uncle is sick. Like, that's what it is. So let's say he knows he's going to hire Tony Elliott at Clemson. I think what he's mm-hmm. going to do is he's going to go to them, ask them what they want in a coach. Somebody in the room is going to say, you know, we want an exciting offensive coach. Or we want mm-hmm. somebody who can really connect with the players. And then he's going to tell Tony Elliott, hey, you need to really connect with the players. And then when he introduces them, I'll tell you, nobody connects with the players like Tony Elliott.
Yeah.
I talked to Trevor Lawrence yesterday, and he said mm-hmm. that Tony Elliott connects with these players so well, and the players will then feel like they played a role in that when really they had nothing to do with it. That's my conspiracy theory there.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. And you know what? That's empowering people, right? That's one of those catchphrases, buzzwords that we hear nowadays is, you know, it may be fake, but it's still making them feel the opposite of Deshaun Watson, like
yep.
their opinion really matters.
Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis, News 2, is with us. What's your hot take this week?
You know, I'm intrigued by Lance Leopold, the coach at Buffalo, just because – and I know he's not the sexiest name out there, but
Lands.
you see that record at Wisconsin Whitewater. That doesn't happen by accident. And if you can win at Buffalo, you can win anywhere. I mean, can you imagine a tougher place to recruit to than Buffalo? I mean, you'd have to. I can't even imagine. It'd be like trying to recruit to Antarctica or something. And I don't know that he's the answer or not. I'm just intrigued by him. And I'm considering that Danny White hired him before, that's one name I'm looking to see if it pops up or not.
Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, I'm sure we'll have a lot of great coverage this weekend of News 2. And we will talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jared. You have a great day.
Yep. Corey Curtis, News 2, joining us as he always does on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Speaking of Fireball Hot Take Friday, it is your day. So I see the phones are all lit up. The texts are all lit up. So let's just get to those next. Your thoughts. It is kind of agenda-free in that way. 615-737-1025. We got a ton on the table. Titans on the table. Vols on the table. It's all there. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. I'm telling you, you've got to get in on the same game parlay. It's the perfect time to make some money during the playoffs. A same game parlay bet lets you combine multiple bets from a single game for an even bigger win during the conference championship games. You can combine the money line, the over under, the player props all in one parlay. And best of all, FanDuel is letting you protect your parlay. That's right. You can place a 3+ same game parlay and get up to $25 back if you fall one leg short with the same game parlay insurance. The playoffs are a perfect time to give one a shot, and it's just one of many ways you can win on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. I love the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. And when you win, you'll get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. If you haven't already, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using my promo code JGM so they know that we sent you. That's promo code JGM. If you're a current customer, then you're all set. Go check out the same game parlays only available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older. Present in Tennessee. Refund issues. Non-withdrawable site credit. Expires in 7 days. Max refund, $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
What's the key for you to kind of shut it down and then spring forward to next year?
It's gonna take a little time. It's tough, you know, just the way things ended so abruptly. You know, everything in your mind tells you that you're going to win that game and still be playing and you can get ready for the next one today instead of packing up your locker. So it's tough. It's tough all the way around for everyone in this building. There's so much work and effort and time and sacrifice that's put in by not only players, but coaching staff and support staff across the entire organization. So definitely a tough day for everyone. And it's going to take some time to get over. You know, you don't really just turn the page in one day on something like this that you put, you know, months and months of work and effort and sacrifice into just to come abruptly ending and not, you know, realizing the goals that you set out for. So time will help. And then, lean on my faith, lean on my family, eventually be able to reflect on the good things that we did this year and then, start preparing for next year.
That was Ryan Tannehill after he had to clean out his locker. Tom Brady has not had to clean out his locker. They're playing this Sunday, Tampa Bay, on the road at Green Bay. And, well, no offense to Ryan Tannehill, but he didn't get it done against the Baltimore Ravens. I promised your phone, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to get in on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, Will wants to get in on Brady and Tannehill. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Will.
Your question about is Tannehill capable of leading the Titans to the promised land, I think absolutely he has the skills. I would definitely have him over Brady. Brady had a defense. Brady has special teams. Tannehill had one phase of the game working the entire season. Our defense was below average. Our special teams sucked. The head coaching decisions sucked.
Sure, so but Will, to that point, you gave up 20 points to the Ravens. It wasn't like you gave up 45.
Still yet, it's all about complementary football. You can't just dump it all on Tannehill to get it done when the defense did not play their part in
that
ball
game. If Tom Brady was the quarterback of the Titans against the Ravens, do you think the Titans would have won? Tannehill was 18-26, 165, one touchdown, one pick at the end of the game. Do you think that if Brady had quarterbacked the Titans that day, they would have won?
From the GOAT standpoint, you would have to say yes, but I don't blame Tannehill for losing that game. It's a game of momentum. It's a game of complementary football, and we hadn't seen it all season long. Very sparsely did we see any complementary football. You can't put it all on Tannehill.
I'm not putting it all on Tannehill, but I would say that of all the things I was most disappointed with in that game, thank you for your call, Will, it was Tannehill in and of himself. I mean, Tannehill got the ball with 4:13 to go, 3 timeouts, down by 7. If you get the ball at your own 21 with 4:13 to go and 3 timeouts and Tom Brady is your quarterback, I think you have to feel pretty good about your chances of winning. I even felt pretty good with my chances of winning in that situation with Tannehill as my quarterback. That had been something Tannehill had done well all year. That's what bothers me. I don't disagree. The defense was trash. The special teams was horrible. And I wish they'd fire both the non-defensive coordinator and the actual special teams coordinator. I wish they'd both pack up their things and leave. But in that game, you put Tom Brady on the field, do you win? Now, again, Tannehill's going to be the quarterback. The Titans are going to have to make a decision in March about whether or not they pick up Ryan Tannehill's 2022 option, I believe. Or maybe it's, yeah, I think it's they got to decide on 2022, or they got to decide on 2023. They got to pick up one of those options at some point. Tannehill's going to be the quarterback for the next 2 years, at least. And the question you're going to have to ask yourself is, Brady's not going to be in the NFC title game at 44, 45, 46. Tannehill will still be the quarterback of the Titans at 33, 34, and probably 35. So is he going to elevate you back to the AFC title game? Is he going to get you to the Super Bowl at one of those points? And while I would agree that the Titans didn't only lose to the Ravens because of Ryan Tannehill, the game was set up for Ryan Tannehill to win for them, and he didn't. He threw for 165 yards. I defended Tannehill when he threw for 80 yards in the playoff game last year at New England, when he threw for 90 yards, I believe, in the playoff game last year at Baltimore. I even defended him when he didn't bring him back against Kansas City in the AFC title game, because I thought, how many people do go into Arrowhead and bring their team back against Kansas City? I like when Tannehill throws for 230 and two touchdowns. Keep doing that. But he didn't throw for 230 against the Ravens. Derrick Henry, unlike the other games where Derrick took them over in the playoffs, he didn't take over this game. At some point, if I'm paying you $29.5 million, you need to go out there and you need to win me a game with your arm. Kinston says, tough to say, but the Titans got it wrong. I was for Brady then, and in hindsight, I still am, Kinston writes. Tannehill played well, but if Brady was the quarterback, the Titans would still be playing. You don't pass up a shot at the GOAT. The Titans could have gotten Tom for 2 years, and then in 2023, Mike and John could have gotten their quarterback of the future. So I wasn't for Brady then. I was for Tannehill. And I think even now, as I'm raising the question, I think I'm still for Tannehill. I'm not jumping off the Tannehill bandwagon because of what happened in the Ravens game, but it definitely hurt. As somebody who is an ardent Tannehill supporter, who believes that he changed the culture here, that highlights everything that he did, I was disappointed that when you really needed him, he didn't come through. As far as the other part of the text about, hey, I think the Titans would still be playing if Tom Brady was the quarterback. I don't think so. The Buffalo Bills are too good. We need to stop pretending that the Buffalo Bills aren't excellent. Chris Sanders came on this show on Wednesday, and Chris said, we had argued tooth and nail about Baltimore and Buffalo, because the last week of the year, I'm like, you do not want to lose to the Texans. You do not want to go on the road to Buffalo. And the fans on Twitter, oh, Jared, we beat them earlier this year. And Chris was saying, Baltimore's hot. Buffalo is. I'm like, Buffalo just dropped almost 60 points on the Miami Dolphins in a game that Miami had to have to make the playoffs. Win and you're in. It doesn't get bigger than that. Miami dropped a 60 burger on them. So Buffalo's for real. I don't think the Titans, even with Brady at quarterback, I don't think the Titans would have beaten Buffalo. I don't think with Mahomes at quarterback, the Titans would have beaten Buffalo. That's how much I think of Buffalo. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. A lot of y'all want to weigh in on this, and we will keep doing that. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company on a Fireball Hot Take Friday is delivered by TriStar Moving. You all know how much I love ice-cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Why? Because it goes down so smooth, and it tastes so great. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, it is my favorite, and it should be yours too. This weekend, big football weekend, big hockey weekend, a lot of games to watch, a lot of time to celebrate with your friends, have a good time, and be the guy out there. Be the guy out there who orders up that nice ice cold Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey shot. It's so easy. It's so simple. Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey, night to night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey. Stillman & Company continues next. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, the team's worked really hard to put ourselves in this position. Our coaches have done a great job, you know, preparing us for this moment. And, you know, we've really come on strong here the last 6 weeks, played our best football of the year when we needed it the most. The bye week was really good for us. Got a chance to get a little mental refresh, physical refresh, and then the team has done a great job coming together and performing and executing under pressure. You know, two road playoff wins, and gives us a great opportunity to go on the road again to beat one of the great football teams.
He's the greatest quarterback who ever lived, Tom Brady. And one thing you will not convince me of, Tom Brady, had he had the choice this offseason, would have picked the Tennessee Titans over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You cannot convince me that Brady would not have come here. And I think most people are on board and believe that. But here we are. Brady's playing Green Bay. Ryan Tannehill throws for 160 yards. Titans lose to the Ravens 2 weeks ago, and they're out. And I see all your texts into the text line on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. And again, our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, Tampa has a top 10 defense. They have two Pro Bowl wide receivers. I wouldn't call that so-so. Some people are saying single-handedly, would you rather have Tampa's receivers or the Titans' receivers? Would you rather have Tampa's defense or theirs? How many short fields did Tom Brady get in his game? People are saying, hey, I think that the Ravens had the best defense in the playoffs. By the way, Buffalo has a better defense than the Ravens. I think the Ravens are the best defense in the playoffs, Fred in Ashland City says. They held the Bills' high-scoring offense to under 20 points and very much had a grudge against the Titans. Brady's weakness is the interior pressure. The Ravens had Calais Campbell and the other big defensive tackles. I don't think Brady would have done much. Also, the Ravens stopped both forms of the offense, the heavy running from the Titans and the passing offense of the Bills. The Bills' defense won them that game. So I'll get to the Bills in a second and the fact that the Bills are legit. But the idea that Tampa has a better defense than the Titans, both teams played quarterbacks. Well, just use the Saints game because, you know, Washington, both teams, Baltimore and New Orleans, had quarterbacks that were impaired when it came to throwing the football. Lamar Jackson cannot throw the football as most playoff quarterbacks can. At this point in his career with all of his injuries, Drew Brees cannot throw the ball the way that a playoff-level quarterback can. If I had to pick offenses, I'd say the Saints offense with Michael Thomas, with Alvin Kamara, is a better offense than the Baltimore Ravens. And your defense was bad, sure, in 2020. Your defense gave up 20. Tampa's defense last week gave up 20. And yes, Brady has Godwin, and he has Evans, and he had AB, who's not going to play this weekend. Tannehill had one 1,000-yard receiver who made the Pro Bowl, another receiver who was a drop away from 1,000 yards, and he had the first 2,000-yard running back since 2012. Ryan Tannehill had enough weapons on offense. The idea that the Ravens' defense is just so good that they were shutting you down, that's when the quarterback has to elevate. That's when Tom Brady, as a rookie, has to beat the St. Louis Rams, or a second-year guy has to beat the St. Louis Rams. The other team, you don't think that Carolina Panther team Brady beat in the Super Bowl in 2005, you don't think that that was a good defense? That's when you have to elevate. I don't think Brady can elevate this week against Green Bay in Lambeau, just like I don't think Brady could have elevated if he were the Titans quarterback against the Buffalo Bills on the road. Just like that New England team, which was terrible without Tom Brady, could not elevate against the Titans last year in Foxborough. But I think he could have elevated this one game. That I certainly think he could have. Tommy texts into the text line and says, Brady would not have even gotten the Titans in the playoffs. Tampa has a squad. Brady has beat two teams with a winning record this year, one being Green Bay, who will put Tampa this week, and the second being New Orleans on Sunday night. I truly believe Tampa's an okay team. They're a good team. They're okay. They're like everybody else. They're okay. Indianapolis, Baltimore, Tennessee, Seattle, the Rams, Cleveland, they're okay, but they're flawed. Kansas City, Buffalo, Green Bay are different. That's why I said in December, Green Bay, Buffalo, Super Bowl. And Kansas City might win Sunday, but that, I mean, I thought you could see this coming pretty far in advance, these two teams. Pete is up next here on a Fireball Titan, on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Pete's up next on the Titans defensive coordinator. Go ahead, Pete.
Well, you got about a 3-year window before your contracts come up with Henry and Tannehill again, and they start getting older. What about Wade Phillips? Nobody turns the defense around quicker than him, and he's got a history with Vrabel.
So what history does he have with Vrabel?
They were at the Texans together.
I don't think they were.
They weren't there at the same time that last year?
No. Vrabel has been Bill O'Brien and Romeo Crennel. Thank you, Pete. I mean, that Vrabel has worked in the New England operation. I mean, when was Wade Phillips with the Texans? That was, God, that had to be before the Broncos, right? So, anywho, I don't think those two ever worked together. And the one thing I would say about Vrabel is this, and I'm going to get into Vrabel and the defensive coordinator thing in a second. Yeah, he was with the Texans before Vrabel got there. Vrabel is not changing the philosophy. Vrabel is not changing the system. Gentry Estes wrote about this in the Tennessean over the weekend. They're not changing the system. And Gentry said to me, you don't think they need to change the system? It's not about what I think they need to do or not do. It's that I know Mike Vrabel won't do it. It's like the television show, My 600-Pound Life. Now, I don't watch that show, but I have friends who do. At some point, when you're 200 pounds, 300 pounds, 400 pounds, 500 pounds, somebody says to you, hey, dude, you need to eat right and exercise. Some doctor says it, some friend says it, some family member says it. Somebody says, before you get to 600 pounds, they say, you need to exercise and eat right. And they try sometimes, I guess. I don't know. But ultimately, they don't do it, or else they would not be 600 pounds. Mike Vrabel, no matter what I say, no matter what Gentry Estes writes, no matter what we all believe, whatever the name of the coordinator who he could get is, he's not bringing them in if they don't run his system. Ravens, Texans, Patriots, now the Falcons, that line of thinking, he's not bringing them in. He's not changing the system. So it's not about what I think he should do. It's what I know he won't do. And what I know he won't do is I know he won't change the system. Because, let's be honest, Vrabel's a good coach. I've always thought Vrabel's a good coach. He's stubborn. He's always been stubborn. Johnson is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Johnson.
This is Big John from the Bills Mafia.
Go ahead.
I believe that they should stop trying to buy a championship and start trying to draft the players that they need to have.
Who?
Thank you. The Titans.
Who? Well, I mean, can't you say that about the Bills? You guys traded all your picks for Stephon Diggs, and it might win you a championship.
That's just one player.
Right, but that's the biggest player. If you guys didn't have Stephon Diggs, you would be the same team you were last year, which was a good team that was a little limited on offense and probably is a first or second weekend in the playoffs team. Instead, I think you're going to beat Kansas City this weekend and go to the Super Bowl. Why? Because you traded all your draft picks to get Stephon Diggs.
But fact being is that we needed a number one, and we would have gotten a number one some kind of way.
So how did the Titans try to buy themselves a championship?
Clowney, Beasley, that's a lot of money that's wasted for nothing.
just because it didn't work out doesn't mean that, like, you don't think Buffalo hits the free agent market? Again,
the biggest addition of the offseason. We don't put big dollars into the free agent market.
You know, and you think Stephon Diggs is playing for free?
No, I'm not saying that.
And you think Mario Addison, who had all those sacks last year at Carolina, you think he's playing for free?
He didn't get paid as much money as Clowney got paid, or Beasley.
You think Micah Hyde, with all his years in Green Bay, you think he's working for free?
He don't get paid more than Honey Badger.
Again, I'm not saying whether or not he's the top of the market guy. You're saying the Titans tried to buy a championship. They got Clowney undervalued. Now, I appreciate your call, Johnson. There was nobody who was more against Jadeveon Clowney than me. And I was so against Jadeveon Clowney and them signing Clowney, even at $12 million, that it's well known. You won't find somebody who would say, no, Jared wasn't anti-Clowney. Everybody knows I was anti-Clowney. The Titans aren't trying to buy a championship, but you have to use free agency the best you see fit, just like the Buffalo Bills' Brandon Bean did when he signed Micah Hyde, when he traded for Stephon Diggs, when he signed John Brown. I mean, come on now. It's just ridiculous. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, I don't know this for a fact, but it's starting to look like a duck, and it's starting to quack like a duck. And it has to do with Mike Vrabel. That's next. Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.